This is FNX.
Listen to Shoot the Defense. It's unbelievable, Jeff.
Hello, welcome to Shoot the Defense on FNX. I'm your host, Stel, and this is an impromptu Shoot the Defense show because we're going to be reviewing the midweek games. I didn't even realize there were midweek games until Monday, which is great. That shows how knowledgeable I am.
Save it.
I have four co-hosts with me. My first one is Mr. Yannickis Jane. Welcome back.
Cheers, buddy.
How you doing? You're okay. I'll just answer that question for you. Yeah, he's okay.
I couldn't hear you. What did you say?
No, I said, how are you?
Oh, yeah, I'm good, mate. How are you?
Shit on a stick podcasting, ladies and gentlemen. 101. Excellent. Right. Yan's all right, so let's cross over to Kojo. Kojo, how you doing, mate?
I'm good, mate. Thank you for having me again.
Yeah, great to have you back on, my friend. See, that's how you respond to a question, Yan.
not comment.
Cross on the bike. Right, guest number three is Mr. Connor from the Playmakers. How you doing, mate?
Yeah, not bad, thanks. Happier now that Sparky's at the door from the last time I was here.
I wasn't banking on you mentioning Mark Hughes on the show today.
It's not going to be anything positive, if so.
Well, you're happier than usual. That's just the main thing, I guess. And guest number four is Double D from the D&D Footy Factory. Welcome, my friend.
Good evening, guys. Hope you're all well.
We're good. No O2 issues for you today.
No, but it's... I'll tell you a fair. It's absolutely ruined my day, though. But, we'll talk about that off air. It's not football related. Well, it is partly because my nephew had football earlier, but it's not professional football related, so we'll get to that later on.
Well, you can talk about that if you want, I don't mind, unless it's one of those, I don't want to be broadcasting that kind of stuff.
No, it's just because my niece and my sister are on O2, so it's been a day of not knowing what time to go and collect people and not being able to get in contact with people. So, quite stressful, hence me logging on later than I wish to. But, not important. Let's get the football done.
See, this is what happens when you abolish pagers. When someone pages you 911, you know there's a problem. Call them back. A pager is for something that youngsters don't really know about these days. Showing our age, AD. Right.
There you go.
There you go. Right. So let's talk about proper football, shall we? Not the O2 and whatnot. And we'll begin at Old Trafford, where Arsenal continued their unbeaten run with a 2-2 draw against United in a game where they were unfortunate not to take all 3 points, in my opinion. Now, Jan, most United fans feared the worst going into this game, especially after the way Arsenal took Spurs apart on Sunday. You'd have taken a point beforehand, wouldn't you?
No, not really.
Boo, you liar.
No, I wouldn't, mate. I'm still one of them retarded United fans that I still think we're great and we should win every game. United at home, traditionally, we kind of got a good record against Arsenal. And usually when Arsenal have got like some sort of unbeaten record or some sort, United usually end it. So I was kind of hoping that might be the case, but like you mentioned, for me, Arsenal deserved to win the game. They were far the better side last night. And I must say, it was a very, very poor game of football, from both sides, especially United. The lack of quality, four of the worst goals you'll see in a football game. Players dropping like... I've never seen players drop on the pitch like last night. It was, it was a joke. United played the game with 8 defensive players on the pitch, which I'm not sure I've ever seen that before from a United side.
What about Middlesbrough away when we beat him 3-1? I think he had 4 centre-backs, didn't he?
Yeah, that's 4, but this is 8 defensive players. Apart from Rashford, Martial and Lingard, all the other 8 outfield players are all defenders or defensive midfielders. Mourinho's tactics. He's talking before the game that he's got no defenders, and then all of a sudden we've got 8 of them on the pitch. So it's another kind of, you know, poor decision, I think, by him. You know, left players on the bench, which I'm glad. I'm not going to knock him for that because, like I put on my Facebook status last night, if Lukaku and Pogba never play for United again, I'll be ecstatic. That'll be my Christmas present. you know, like I said, overall, I thought Arsenal deserved to win. They had the better chances. They were the better side. If I was an Arsenal fan, I'd be slightly disappointed that they didn't win the game last night. They didn't look like a side that were kind of 19, 20 games unbeaten. For some reason, I don't know if it was the fear of playing at Old Trafford or being a bit cagey, I'm not sure, but United were there for the jugular and they didn't really go for them. So I guess a point for both clubs and they both move on.
I don't know what's funnier, you calling Rashford Mashford or referring to Mourinho as a scorned woman with about an ex-husband. Him. Him over there, him. His fault. Anyway.
It's not his fault. The only issue I've got with Jose Mourinho is his negative, pragmatic, boring tactics. That is my only issue with him. The fact that he's strong with the likes of Pogba and all these bad eggs. I'm actually quite pleased because we've actually got a manager now that stands up to these kind of players and says, you know what, I'm in charge of this football club and while I'm in charge, I'm the boss, not you lot. And I actually quite like that. So if he changes tactics a little bit and started playing a little bit more expansive football, which he won't, but if he did, I'd actually be happy with him. So that's my only issue, he's kind of boring style of football.
There you go. Another segment that isn't sponsored by a pick-me-up pill. Wonderful. Kojo, the way all four goals were scored, conceded, however which way you want to dress it up, were absolutely comical, as Jan said before. Although, as we've discussed on numerous occasions, both sides have issues at the back. So a Benny Hill performance was on the cards, right?
You know, I've never been so disgusted at a game before. And I've been disgusted for a lot of games for people that listen to what I usually say. The goals were... they were interesting. The only goal of any sort of quality was an offside goal by Mkhitaryan, which pretty much speaks volumes. You know, it was funny because I expected Arsenal to beat us, to be completely honest. But they score and then it takes 2 minutes for us to just score at the other end. And it was like, okay, this is bad. This is really, really bad to watch. And then they score again, which I can... I don't even talk about that goal. and then the next goal, 1 minute later. And again, it was what? Lingard just running through out of nowhere. No one was in the box. No one was really attacking for us. He just thought, I'm going to take a chance and run here. Which you should do. You know, take your chances. And then he somehow managed to go and poke the ball. The defending was absolutely disgusting to watch. Minus, I guess, Bailly. I think he was quite solid. Everyone else was banter. But then you could see in the first 5 minutes, a ball came across from Kolasinac and Smalling just did what Smalling does. So, yeah, from that moment on, you could just tell it's going to be an absolute shambles. And it's an indication of where both teams are because Arsenal are great going forward, but again, defensively, they are poor. And Man United are just looking like 2006 Bolton. So, you know, I don't know what's going to happen with these two teams right now, honestly.
Connor, your tweet last night about United's goal being a FIFA 19 glitch, I think Arsenal's second goal was pretty much the same sort of vein, really. apart from that, what did you make of the goals themselves? Do you agree with Kojo?
I agree with everything that's been said so far. If that was a game of FIFA, my controller would be in pieces. That's what it's saying. I mean, I'm watching over him literally as we speak. That Martial goal, even that's like watching Saints defending. Just ball watching. I think that all four goals are arguably ball watching, aren't they? Because the Mustafi goal, defenders just aren't tracking their man. And which leads to a question I've got for you lot, because you're more Man United than I am. Well, there's more Man United fans here than not. What's up with De Gea? I know it's one mistake, but it's been, 6 months where he's not been at his best.
You know, for someone that's done so much saving for the club right now, I would slate him and go on his neck, but you know, I can't, can we? I just don't, you know, I look at him like, all right, blame him, but look at what's in front of him. He's been having trash for at least 5 years. So, you know, can I get mad at him? No, I can't. I mean, he's not like, what's his name? What's that fool's name? Pickford. You know, he didn't do a Pickford. It didn't cost us any points. Well, it cost us 2 points, kind of. But, you know, and he's done so much saving for us that at this point, I'm just like, you know what? He made a mistake. It happens, man. Move on.
I'm looking at a goalkeeper who's just fed up, Connor. He's probably looking around going, I am probably one of the best goalkeepers in the world and I've got one of the worst defences I've ever seen in my life. That's the way I see it. I just think he's not as motivated, if that's the right word, as he used to be. I think his laps, you know, he's not concentrating as much as he was now. And I see him going to PSG, if I'm going to be brutally honest.
I've read that about, well, I think he just shouldn't have had a haircut. Happened to the Kaku, didn't it? Got rid of his dreads and lost all his ability to play football. but yeah, I mean, like you say, he saved you from time after time after time, but just watching the Lacazette goal now as well, even that one, you're like, you could do better there. But maybe that's just the expectations you have of him.
Well, I think Rojo gave the ball in the halfway, he gave away the ball away on the halfway line, didn't he? That's where it all stemmed from. But you know, as for the first goal, I just want to see that replay again. You know, with the camera angles on the ground, and you see De Gea leaping for the ball. I just want the I Believe I Can Fly music being played when he jumps in the air and it just slips through his fingers. So it's that's just vintage R. Kelly, you know, pissing on everything. You know? But anyway. Connor, again, Matic was awarded the man of the match from McManaman. I don't know why, because I think Guendouzi was absolutely fantastic. He was absolutely unfazed and ran United ragged in the middle of the park.
Yeah, I find it very odd when the pundits award the man of the match to someone, especially a defensive-minded player, when you've just watched that, if you know what I mean. And especially when, you know, it's Old Trafford. It's Man United, it's 2-2, it's a good result, very good result for Arsenal. Surely logic would dictate that a man of the match would go to one of their players, but Matic is another one. I've asked the same question about De Gea. Just what's happened to him? He's clearly didn't do his job against Arsenal and he hasn't been doing his job for a good 6 months again, I'd say. So odds, but let's be honest. 90% of the pundits on TV know absolutely nothing. They watch a different game to us, don't they?
Yeah, I think it's just a sympathy vote. I think Matic has got a lot of stick recently and McManaman feel sorry for him. So, yeah, that's the only explanation I can think of anyway. Dee, had Arsenal played the Bournemouth or Brighton at home on Sunday, I think they would have trounced United last night. I think they're a bit tired from the Spurs game.
Yeah, definitely. But some Arsenal fans were quite optimistic about the fact they got a point, but a majority of them weren't happy. And I think you can't go ahead two times at Old Trafford and not win anyway, because it's a big game, you've got to hold fort. But the state that United are in at the moment, I'd feel really annoyed. Like, apart from the two goals United scored, they didn't even really threaten in the game. They were putting more effort into trying to clamp Arsenal's midfielders in the centre than they were trying to get in efforts on target. Guendouzi was really given some rough treatment in there. And, for a game, because I had the Liverpool game on my laptop, I had a few friends around and they watching the game on the widescreen. Every time I looked up, I've watched more of the game now, but every time I looked up, the ball was either in the air or out of play. For a game that had four goals in it, you lot have used the word quality, the lack of quality was savage, considering there were four goals in the game. It was so not, like, it was gripping because yellow cards were flying about. I think there were five in the first half, but in terms of actual football quality, a Man United Arsenal game that is renowned for its quality down the years, it was really lacking. Yeah, Arsenal should have really put United to the sword. The first, as you have put it out, just poor defending. That goal, Martial goal, when you see the replay from behind the goal, there's seven Arsenal players there, and no one tried to challenge him. And then the second goal, I don't know what Colossus actually doing. I'm not sure whether it was Socrates or who got caught up in position. And Lingard's just nipped in the school. He loves a goal against Arsenal, doesn't he? Mm. Just, it's a calamity of errors, man. Yeah. It's just poor.
I know the United's first goal was slightly offside, and a lot of people are pointing to that, but. You know, the referee...
Yeah, Barrera, yeah.
But the referee didn't himself any favours either, because I know he gave a free kick for something he didn't even see. His back was turned.
Oh, yeah. I've never gone so mad before. Like, I was like, wait, what are you doing? Is that because the ball just hit your foot that you feel sorry for them or something? It's stupid. Yeah.
I can see where Arsenal fans are coming from, though, because I mean, okay, it wasn't a blatant offside decision. I mean, it was marginal.
But I
can understand their frustration, because it was straight after United they took the lead, and again with the second goal, comical defending. But it was both teams in general. It was dreadful. I mean, the problem is whenever it comes to United Arsenal, there's always these vignettes. You know, from the TV company showing the game, where they show the games from the past and the past incidents and the rivalry and all that kind of stuff. But those days are gone. Those days are gone. Last night, they should use that footage for future games and say, this is what to expect, ladies and gents. Yeah.
Because for the next 2 years.
Precisely.
Right, I don't think it's gone, though, still. I just think it's...
It's
where both clubs are. If they were both challenging again for honours, you see the rivalry come back. All right, the managers are not the same, but let's face it, United and Arsenal don't like each other. So if they were both challenging again, you would see a different... It's because United are eighth, Arsenal are fourth, fifth, third. It's not the same. It's not a title, you know, winning game or something that's... You know, important. It wasn't. That's why it was lack of atmosphere, passion. Yeah,
take your mind back to the early 90s, my friend. Even before the Premier League started, when we had the brawl between United and Arsenal players.
With Brian McLaren, Winterburn,
right? That was a genuine rivalry, but now it just seems so forced. And if it wasn't for social media, I think the banter between the two sets of fans would be minimal. No one would care.
That's what everyone was calling it still, the social media derby. That's what it was.
It's true.
I don't know. I think if Sanchez was playing as well, it could have been a little bit different as well. So.
Yeah, possibly. All right, we move on. We move on because we've done 15 minutes talking about an absolute dog shit game. I don't know how we did that, but anyway. Spurs bounced back from their derby day defeat with a 3-1 win over Southampton, whose new manager, Ralph Hasenhüttl, was watching in the stands. Kojo, it wasn't a straightforward win as Southampton hit the woodwork three times and made Lloris earn his corn, although he probably used that money to pay for his speeding fine or whatever.
To buy his Cronenberg.
To pay for his Uber, I don't know. To and from training. I doubt anyone expected the Saints to get anything out of the game, but they've already shown signs of improvement, haven't they?
You can see that the manager's... I don't know if he's worked with them properly or anything, but that's the kind of style that he likes. You know, he likes to get his wingers cutting in a little bit, his fullbacks going down a bit forward, and whoever the striker is, just getting them on the shoulder. And Charlie Austin, obviously from the goal that he scored, that's the kind of thing that he did. But yeah, you can see there is proof straight away, because I didn't watch the game for much of the day, and when I saw 3-1, I thought, yeah, it must have been a comfortable game. And then you see, watch the game and you're seeing them hitting the crossbar. Lloris making saves. I'm thinking, whoa, this is... But, you know, for Southampton, it's very good because you weren't seeing any of this against Man United. You weren't seeing any of this prior for a long time. It's been a long time since I've seen a Southampton performance when I could sit there and say, this is very impressive. So... They'll get better, absolutely. It'll take time for him to, I think, get his philosophy fully through the squad, but they'll get better, and I think they'll be okay in the Premier League this year.
Connor, would you have broken your PlayStation controller for that game as well? Because, as I said, you hit the bar three times. It was one of those games where if you'd have scored early, then it could have been a completely different scoreline, mate. But how excited are you about this new head coach? I mean, he comes with a very respectable reputation.
Yeah, well, that game yesterday kind of encapsulates our season. We create so many chances, just... couldn't score in a brothel. It was just unbelievable. But yeah, I mean, he comes with a good pedigree, doesn't he? He's got good reputation. It's definitely going to be entertaining, and that's all we really care about, if I'm honest, at the moment, because we've gone through three dire managers so far. But yeah, I like that. The game yesterday, Kelvin Davis took charge. He pretty much just chose his mates. and it was just players who kind of you expect to care a bit more than others, and ended up looking all right. Obviously, a loss is a loss, but if you lose trying, then you can't complain, can you? But yeah, we'll see. It's going to be hard for him because his style is kind of high intensity, lots of running, and he's got the hardest period of the season to fit that into, isn't he? Because it's six games left of this month. And it does probably spell the end of Charlie Austin. I only mentioned him earlier, but that bloke is not going to be running for 90 minutes. I can assure you of that.
So what do you make of this manager then? Because, as I said before, you know, big reputation. He did very well at Leipzig. He said all the right things in the press conference today, didn't he?
Yeah, he mentioned the academy, which is kind of like the thing to say if you want to get on the side of Southampton fans. We've got a very strange affinity with our academy, even though we haven't produced anything in bloody ages. You know, if he can come in and just keep us up this season, perfect. That's all we really need. Next season is probably the season we can really judge him, unless obviously he takes us down this year, then he can put us off. But yeah, I mean, as long as if looking at Leipzig, I mean, second in their first division, first season in the Bundesliga. And even before that, he was at Ingolstadt, got them promoted. He can take credit for Pascal Gross, obviously now at Brighton, you know, development of Timo Werner, Naby Keita, Sabitzer and Forsberg, all those lot that are still there. So, you know, we've got some players he can work with, which is exciting. The likes of Lamina, you kind of build a team around him, wouldn't you? So, fingers crossed he can do the business.
Mm. The thing is, I think Southampton would be more of a threat if Cortese was still there.
Oh, don't get me started on that. You've fallen into the trap.
Have I?
Yeah. Hit me. Was a scumbag.
That's what you need, no?
Nah, he was... Oh, if he stayed, we'd be where Pompey are now.
Ooh, really?
Yeah, it wasn't all...
Ouch!
What it seemed. Ooh.
Go on, you have my attention again.
It was... Well, he made all these promises to players and stuff, which is fair enough. You tell a little white lie to attract better players, but...
Well, I promised to sell you to Liverpool. That's not a bad promise.
Well, we're making promises we get into the Champions League to players, which admittedly we were very bloody close to doing. We're only 3 points off at one point. But he was... Everyone praises him for his signings. You have to remember he signed Gastón Ramírez, Dani Osvaldo... He was just chucking money that we didn't really have. And he was kind of, putting us on course for another spate of administration, really, which everyone sings his phrases and says how much of a great job he'd do at another club, but tell me why he's not in football anymore.
Because he's rich.
Well, yeah, he was on Talk Sport earlier in the year saying he'd love to get back into football, but I don't see anyone screaming to get him in. And there's a lot of clubs out there who could do with a kind of director of football, isn't there?
Wasn't the director of football at Liverpool, what was his name? I forget his name.
He was an old guy. He was Damian Comoli.
Yeah, didn't he have like five or six different roles after joining Liverpool?
Comoli at Liverpool was a disaster bit. But there was one particular sign, I can't remember who it was, that was good. But yeah, director of football was such a... You have to get it right. As United fans have cried about with Woodward, he's a great business guy, put all sorts of deals in, but no, where's the football knowledge? So you need to have the right balance, and that's hard to get. It's such a, it's an integral position. But yeah, I'm glad we've got things in place now. They used to do like the director of football and then some committee deciding on which players to, it was nonsense, man. I'm glad we've got it right now, though.
Fair enough. Right, speaking of Liverpool, their 3-1 win at Burnley means the club has made its best ever start to a top flight season with 12 wins, 3 draws in their first 15 games. Now, despite making a few changes to the lineup and going a goal down, Klopp's men came back in style. Just shows what strength in depth can do, Jan, doesn't it?
Yeah, unfortunately.
I'm only asking you these Liverpool questions so I can hear the depression in your voice.
Oh, mate. You've got to give them credit, but to be fair, though, we've been saying it for a while with them, haven't they? That, you know, you could see what Klopp was building, and eventually they were going to get into this position that they are and potentially go one better. They're playing football the right way. His signings have all been successful. He's rotating his team now and he's still getting results. The scary thing is, actually, Liverpool actually are not even playing that well at the moment. But they're still grinding results. They're still getting the 3 points. It doesn't seem that he's got as many injuries as he had in the past. Maybe he's worked on the fitness side, on the training ground, or maybe, you know, they're not pushing as much on the pitch. That means they've got more energy, which prevents injury. He's doing all the right things. And, you know, again, if you're a Liverpool fan, you know, you should be very optimistic for the future. I still think there were a couple of players short of winning the league, but it's coming. Unfortunately, it's going to be.
No, it's not coming.
It is, mate. It is.
No.
Listen, my highlight of the season is actually helping City carry on winning so Liverpool don't win the title. That's a pathetic.
Oh my God, is that where it's come to? You prefer your neighbours to win, yeah?
It's like my best mate or my worst enemy bedding me missus, isn't it? It's like that bad. But if I had to choose it, it'll have to be City, so...
Do you want chlamydia or the gonorrhea?
I mean... I don't know, judging by Jan's track record, he's had both, so...
Yeah, you was one of them. No, but...
Oh, my God.
Now, you got to give them credit, though, Snell. You know, as much as, yeah, you know, we're being honest, obviously, always on this show, and, you know, taking my United hat off away, you know, watching them, the way that they play, like I said, and picking up results, and, you know, the way... You know, the club's run and club's philosophy, and it seems like the players love him and he loves the players. And he's showing this passion, which I actually love from managers, because fans feed off managers' reactions, emotion. The fact that he's so kind of passionate, the Liverpool fans build on that. And then when you're going to Anfield to play a football game, everyone's up for it because the manager's up for it, the players are up for it. And I'm not going back to United, but because he's all doom and gloom at United, there's no atmosphere there because nobody wants to sing. Nobody wants, you know, there's no enthusiasm. And it's the same with Pep. It's the same with Emery. Not as much with Pochettino, but they play good football. So you've got to give these clubs and these managers kind of credit for what they've done to their clubs.
Yeah,
fair point. The Joe Gomez went off with a fractured leg and could be out for up to 6 weeks. I mean, that's a big loss for Liverpool, mate. I've been waxing lyrical about this lad for a while now, and I hate to admit he's a fantastic footballer, but do you agree how big a loss he will be for Liverpool?
It's a huge loss, guys. It's huge because I don't know why I would prefer him to use Matip. He's going to use Lovren. And with United, City and Arsenal coming up in the next, four or five weeks? Actually 3 weeks. And the Napoli game as well, horrible game for him to be out for. And with his pace at the back, the fact we've got Bournemouth in the early game on Saturday, he's going to be a huge miss. Huge miss. Because, for instance, if you look at the United, well, obviously the game coming up is at Anfield next Sunday, but when we played United last season at Old Trafford, they put Lukaku on Van Dijk. He got no change out of him. He switched over to Lovren twice and they got that two flick-ons for the Rashford goals. And this is what I'm scared of. As bad as United are at the moment, one long ball could change things if Lovren's going to be rash. So it's the worst possible time to have Gomez out of it. I'm out injured. I'm hoping that he resurrects Nathaniel Klein from the death. So we've got a better cover in the right back area for Trent, because I don't want Trent to play every single game, because I think he's played too much football in the last 18 months for a 20-year-old. But yeah, it's worst possible time. Hopefully he comes through. But the game yesterday, people say it's only Burnley, but it really pleased me the fact that they went behind and they were able to come back to win, because we don't really come from behind to win in the last, I'd say, year to 18 months. We've not done it that much. And obviously this season we've not had to necessarily, because we've not really been conceding goals. But it was a big win. And him and Dyche had a big argument, because he was complaining because the way United were running through Guendouzi was the same way Burnley were treating our players. they were just fouling everyone.
Well, do you know what? It's interesting you say that, because that leads me on to my next question. I mean, Klopp questioned Burnley's, how shall we say, methods of winning the ball. he said stuff like, you know, we won the game, but the challenges from the beginning, the sliding tackle and the wet ground, I really think the referee should have said something earlier. I don't know what he means by that. He said the injury threat is massive, because you get the ball nice, but it's like bowling, because you get the player as well. It happened 4 or 5 times. Dyche responded by basically reeling off a list of excellent challenges. His words, not mine, by the way.
He's just a Mourinho.
Do both managers have valid arguments? I mean, this is a question for all you guys. Is tackling being outlawed now?
You know, it's with some of the aggressiveness of the challenges. I mean, I heard him saying stuff like, "I'm proud to be old school if we're gonna like accept cheating." Sometimes it's not cheating.
Please do it in his voice. Please do it in his voice.
I can't do his voice. He reminds me of what's that rock Pokemon? Gravlock. He reminds me of Gravlock. yeah, he was talking about being good, honest challenges, and I was like, but you know, sometimes these guys just jump out of the way, because if you see a guy coming with studs, sometimes in his mind he might be thinking, yeah, I'm going to get the ball, but I want to get some of ya as well. I want to get some of ya. And you don't want that guy to get some of you. And he was making the point, especially the foreign players. It's like, mate, you have to see if some of these guys don't go to war in their countries and fight on the pitch. I mean, Boca Juniors haven't played for like 3 weeks because they've been fighting. You know? So, like, this idea he has of these clubs trying to overprotect their players, there's a reason they're trying to protect their players. And, you know, I haven't seen the challenges properly. But he can't be thinking that's a good thing. That's disgusting, man. It's bad. It's really bad, in my opinion.
Okay. Connor, what do you make of those challenges? Were they proper old school?
I enjoy it. I love it. And I love it more when it annoys Klopp, I'm perfectly honest. I mean, there was a good segment on TalkSport that Charlie Adam was talking to Jim White, and he was saying that, you know, the quality in terms of on the ball between the two teams is massive, and you need an equaliser, don't you? And for some players, that's physicality, that's getting in their heads, letting them know you're there. Charlie Adam, as we all know, was a prime example of that, because he couldn't really get across the pitch. He had to stop everyone else getting across the pitch. I mean, we're going so far away from tackling now. It's going to be a basketball thing, isn't it? It's just, it's a joke. It's a joke.
Well, little Andy, a good friend of the show, he's an avid Liverpool fan, and he put out a tweet literally 4 minutes ago. And I will quote, Sean Dyche, the croaky C word, needs to pipe down and concentrate how shit his team has become. Calling us cheeks, you cheeky C-word. One of our players had a fractured leg because your team are a bunch of rugby players. Good luck in the championship next season. Ginger Mourinho ended it with a W-word.
that challenge on Joe Gomez, I don't think that was bad. That was Ben Mee, wasn't it?
Yes, that's right.
There's nothing wrong with that in my book. It's unfortunate. You don't want to see a player get injured, especially someone like Joe Gomez, because he is quality. But, you know, it's just clearing the ball and hard. What do you expect when you go to Burnley? What do you expect?
There you go. Fair enough. Right. Wolves' barren run came to an end with a big win over Chelsea, while West Ham's 3-1 victory over Cardiff was largely due to one of their forgotten men, Lucas Perez, who bagged a brace. Meanwhile, in the Alan Mullery derby, Brighton beat Palace convincingly 3-1.
The birds.
Yeah, that's it. When they called, they changed their name to the Seagulls because it would drown out the Palace fans singing Eagles.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Interesting.
I only looked at the seasons. Someone rang in the show and said that. I didn't know.
Yeah. Very good, very good. Well, Dee, Perez was introduced to the Premier League by Arsene Wenger, but has rarely featured for both former club Arsenal and new club West Ham. Now, to be honest, man, I'm not sure what this brace will do for his future, despite Pellegrini saying the Spaniard doesn't have to prove anything, and they know why they brought him to the London Stadium. What do you know about Perez, and will we see him more now?
I actually like Lucas Perez, and I thought that he a couple of seasons ago scored a decent amount of goals for Deportivo, which is why Arsenal obviously brought him in. But whenever I felt sorry for him, because whenever he played for Arsenal, he played well. He got hat-trick in the Champions League for them, got that huge first goal when they came back from 3-0 down against Bournemouth. He's a good player, and he got quite a few assists as well, and got a goal for them in that tricky cup tie they had away at Sutton in the FA Cup as well. So he did well whenever he played for them, but Wenger just didn't use him that much. And I know Wenger and actually spoke directly to his camp to apologise to him about the lack of first team football that he had. I thought he'd get more time at West Ham, because I know that Pellegrini's an attacking manager, but maybe now with, obviously, I think an out of Richard Dunning's hammy, maybe he'll get a run now, and you've got two marksmen there. Hernandez won them their game against Newcastle on the weekend. It could be looking up for West Ham. I'm still not sure about them defensively, but with Felipe Anderson in there, it could maybe do a thing. But yeah, actually, I like Lucas Perez. I think he's a good little player.
Yeah, and have you changed your opinion on Pellegrini?
I think his ideas, or you know, he's starting to come across to the players now. I think results have started to pick up, which, you know, ultimately confidence is high and optimism is optimism. Easy for me to say, is there? I've never been his biggest fan, to be honest, still, but he's a nice guy. He's a nice manager. He actually plays again. You know, sound like a broken record all the time with these managers, but he plays football, you know, in attacking philosophy. He did it at City, Villarreal, the clubs that he was at. And I think with time, if the West Ham board are kind of patient with him and a couple of more signings, I think he can get them to be a top eight side, possibly.
Mm. Connor, it's a bit of a smash and grab win for Wolves, but their fans won't care at all, mate. That will do loads for the place confidence, won't it?
It will, because they've obviously not had the greatest run in recent weeks. But I've seen a video today of a 70-year-old bloke going absolutely crazy, 70 years old, and I was like, fair play, because it's a big win for them. It's their first proper scalp since they came up, because they drew against the other big sides, didn't they? Drew of Arsenal, drew of United. But yeah, I mean, fair play, they deserved it, if I'm honest, because as much as Chelsea have started the season well, they've really, really tailed off. And the one thing Wolves struggle to do is score goals. And for them, the two of their struck well, Jimenez has got a fair few this season. I think he's on 7 in all comps. But Diogo Jota has really, really struggled. So for him to get a goal, a good goal at that, is only going to be favourable for them.
Absolutely. And Kojo Sarri came in with a big reputation for playing expansive football and, you know, really doing well in Serie A. I think he's starting to realise that the Premier League isn't as easy as some make out to be.
Oh, yeah, but he's also, I mean, for me personally, he's also a guy that played nice football, but defensively his teams are trash.
Mm.
And that was point evidence in Napoli. I mean, the biggest achievement he had was bottling a 10-point lead over Juve and finishing second. So, you know, congratulations to him. But yeah, you know, this is Chelsea in a nutshell, but we've said for a long time about that team that, you know, defensively they've needed to replace for a while now. David Luiz is done. Christensen's a good young player, but they're not really using him. Rüdiger is, he's good. He's not fantastic, but he's good. But yeah, this needs to improve big time. And right now they look lost. There's a lot of this thing about using Kante the wrong way. I think Kante's fine. When Kante is struggling, everyone wants to blame the manager. Sometimes just say the boy's not playing well. It's like, you know, if he's not playing well, it's not a bad thing, because he played okay on the weekend. He did his job very well and they won the game comfortably. So, yeah, but he needs to find a solution quick. I think he'll be given this season, and then next season he has to have an answer with the title. Otherwise, it might be looking for long term already, because, you know, Abramovich doesn't really waste time when it comes to managers.
No, of course. And the thing is, it's interesting how Sarri again has addressed or has mentioned the defensive frailties. I mean, he said that the game could have been killed off when they went a goal up, but when Wolves equalised, they weren't the same team. And even he's saying, you know, it's difficult for him to understand why. And he questioned the team's reaction. If you look at Wolves' second goal and look at Azpilicueta, I don't know what he was doing, but it looked like he was adjusting his shin pads just before the ball was put wide. I'm thinking, you're an experienced fullback. You should have known to track the runner that was making that diagonal run. It was Jota just came in and poked it in. so again, I don't know whether it's concentration. I don't know whether it's belief. There's just something doesn't seem to be right. And we said it weeks ago that you're not going to win the league with Luiz and Rüdiger at the back. And it's further cementing our views, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of odd, because especially with Azpilicueta, it's good that you mentioned him, because I've looked at him as someone that doesn't make mistakes, especially like that. So if he's starting to lose concentration like that, it's very, very worrying for the team, because he's known as their best defender. So yeah, he needs to sort that out quickly. Honestly, it's looking troublesome for Chelsea right now, and Eden Hazard, obviously, he's not being consistent. So there you go.
So can I make a quick point, if I may?
Of course.
About Kante, I think it's an absolute ridiculous decision to move Kante out of the position that he's been for the last 3-4 years for club and country.
Louder for the people in the back, Ian.
Right. What, do you agree?
Yeah, I agree. I'm saying louder for the people in the back. They can't hear you.
Oh, sorry. I just think a guy who's won the title there, playing there for Leicester, he won the World Cup playing in that position for France. He won the league again with Chelsea. For Sarri, who's never won anything in his life, to come in to say to Kante, you're not good enough to play in that position, I'm going to play Jorginho. You know, managers get paid millions and millions of pounds of making decisions. That is a criminal decision, I'm sorry.
But managers have favourites as well, Jan.
Yeah, but it's where's the logic in it? I don't get it. What, Jorginho can pick up the ball, what, from in front of the back four or back three?
That is the idea. And then obviously he has Kante moving box to box, but as a ball winner kind of
but
thing.
But Kante could be a ball winner playing in the defensive. Kante is not a great footballer. Let's not kid ourselves. Kante is very great or very good at the position that he is, which is a defensive midfielder. If you look at him, the reason why he's not playing well, because he's lost. He's probably thinking, they're giving me the ball, they want me to either spray it, or pass it, or shoot it. I can't do this. Let me just do the job that I've been doing for the last 3-4 years. And now this geezer's come in, he's telling me to do something different.
I'm pretty sure that in defensive campaign, that Chelsea are having a lot more of the ball. It's kind of renders his need to get it back pointless. They're 70% possession against Wolves, then lost. Like, can he really do all the tackling he's been doing before when they've already got the ball? And that might play a factor in it.
I just think for a guy who's won back-to-back titles in a World Cup playing in a defensive midfield position, and listen, if he can win a World Cup with Pogba alongside him, he must be good.
Oh, come on. Come on. What's that?
What do you mean, what's that? Pogba's one of the biggest liabilities as a midfield player, so Kante must be good at his job.
If we're going to say that, Kante got benched in the second half in the World Cup final, and Pogba went on to score and play very well. I mean, that's not fair on Pogba. I mean, Pogba's been poor, but I mean, come on, what are we doing here?
Don't start me on Pogba, but yeah, we're talking about Kante. And
Mikey, are you rattled?
No, I'm not rattled. Look at you. Hey, I like Kante, but like the guy's a fantastic. I think he's a fantastic defensive midfielder, and I like the fact that even in this position, even though people are thinking that he's playing, he's not as good as he was last season, the seasons before, because it's a different role. But I've seen an improvement in the player in terms of his technical ability. I know he's not up to Sarri's par, but I've seen an improvement in him, and I like that. But you know, that particular slander about Pogba, I mean, Pogba's been poor, but in the World Cup final, the guy got dashed to the bench. I mean, so I don't think it's that bad. But anyway, go on.
Common Chelsea fans, where's the hashtag unlock Kante? I want to see it in full force. Come on now. Right, Connor, Palace were absolutely atrocious defensively, but take nothing away from Brighton. This was one of their best first half performances, at least so far this season.
Yeah, I thought my life score out was broken. Because they had arguably their best player go off injured. The guy who comes off, scores his first touch. Their second best player then gets sent off. Then their third best player goes off injured. The bloke who comes on scores a goal as well. I mean, what management by Chris Hughton. That is unbelievable. Palace, that was embarrassing, wasn't it? Absolutely embarrassing. And to be fair, they are an embarrassment. I bloody hope they go down this year. They're atrocious. They're atrocious. And that's coming from someone who's watched Saints all season. They're crap. Zaha is a ponce, for lack of a better word. He's just diving all over the place. And he's a dirty little fucker as well. He should be
warm off. Hey! Whoa! I felt that way.
You know...
Do you know what? Everyone's rapping tonight. I don't know what's happening.
Me and the whole of South London felt that, Connor. It was like, whoa.
I felt the passion coming out.
He's one player. I appreciate how good he can be, but fuck me, does he get on my tits?
It's like the butterfly effect, you know. Connor's mentioned Wilf Zaha in a really bad way, and there's going to be like a tsunami in Japan later on.
Yeah. Well, he didn't do anything in the game, one of the biggest games of the season, as from a fan's point of view, and he should have been sent off at least once, maybe twice.
Okay, fair enough. Well, things just go from bad to worse for Crystal Palace. I don't know if you heard about this, but the Palace staff are confident their training ground kitchen will regain its 5-star hygiene rating. Apparently it's been rated 0 over a mice infestation.
Oh my God.
Yeah, they even released a statement. Shall I read it?
Go ahead.
Go on. Well, a Palace spokesman said the issue has been resolved, and they said, "We invested substantially in the training ground over the summer, upgrading facilities for our players and staff, and immediately took action to remedy the issues highlighted in the kitchen area following the works. The remedial action was approved by the Environmental Health Inspector, and we're confident that our 5-star rating at Beckenham will be restored when we re-inspected in line with our 5-star rating for the kitchen facilities at Selhurst Park." There you go. See?
They can't afford a striker in January now, can they?
Oh, blimey. Well, how many rats do you think they had in that kitchen, eh? Well, when De Boer was in charge, I guess.
Quite a few. Zaha, Benteke.
I'm just about to say, according to Connor, just Zaha.
Also, Tom and Jerry.
Mickey, Minnie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, Roy
Hodgson
fucking out. We should be eating.
God almighty. Dude, just start,
Thomas,
might as well start,
get to the training
ground. Start playing UB40 right in my kitchen and see what happens.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, that's the most bizarre thing I've heard all season, to be fair. We've heard some pretty blinding ones, haven't we? But this one is, you know, Palace having to put out a statement about their kitchen.
That's in the Euro trash, isn't it? But that's like Britain trash, isn't it?
Yeah, UK Brexit trash.
Brexit trash.
I can't think of anything else to talk about. I know Real Madrid won 10-1 on aggregate in the Spanish Cup today.
Absolutely silly game. It was a funny, funny game to watch.
Yeah, a bit bizarre that.
I got one.
Go on.
Yeah, Steven Gerrard lost. Rangers lost Aberdeen. Here's one. See.
Aberdeen beat Rangers.
They beat them 1-0 at home.
Is that all you got?
Listen, I told you, I'm getting pleasure out of other people's miseries because United can't have it. This is me, the new bit of me.
So Kilmarnock like at top of this. What's going on in Scotland? Celtic got two games in hand, though, so if they win them both, they go to top. Bloody hell, what's going on? Oh, here's one. Monaco won't be getting
it. Yes, you took the words out of my mouth.
Come on, Thierry.
Thierry Henry. Two penalties, wasn't it? Two penalties from Falcao. There you go. So they've won two out of their last three games, and they're at the relegation zone on goal difference.
He's done a great job.
Patrick Vieira at the weekend, wasn't he? But cancelled because of all these stupid riots.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, that was Friday night, wasn't it? That game scheduled.
Yeah, for tomorrow. Oh, God.
Yeah. What about PSG? Have gone two games in League R without winning. Is that a crisis?
Yep. Another draw.
Yeah.
So, what's it then? Tuchel will be out of a job soon as well.
he keeps doing this weird thing of starting cheap promoting. What does he think?
That's his guy for mites, man. That's his guy, man.
But.
Oh, that was Gary Neville, wasn't it?
Yeah, the Torres goal. Strasbourg have got PSG's number though, because they ended their long
unbeaten run,
didn't they?
That's right.
Yeah,
they did. That's true.
They got their number.
What Strasbourg are one of them sides that always seem to beat the big boys.
Yeah, they lose everyone else.
Yeah, that's right.
I call them Acker killers. They've messed me out of a lot of money, Strasbourg.
Yeah, them and is it? I can't say it properly, but Gwyn Gamp to us uneducated Englishmen.
Oh, Gangop.
Wait, how do you say it? Gangop. Yeah. I swear that I never thought like that. My God, lads.
I tell you what, the Boca Juniors game scheduled for this week, isn't it?
Isn't it going to be in Madrid?
Sunday, isn't it?
Yeah.
Juventus Inter on Friday as well. That is a massive game.
Huge match.
Wait. Juventus Inter tomorrow.
Juventus versus Inter tomorrow night.
I'm going to my sister's play.
It's my sister's birthday tomorrow. I'm going to pull her in the rain.
So basically,
I'm after Master Joe Gomez.
I've got a seat right at the front, so I can't even like put on my phone and stream it. Great.
So the Italian league ends tomorrow, then, does it?
It's over already.
Yeah,
it's done already.
Right, yeah. Well, once you can confirm that they beat Inter, that's it, done. Might as well give them a transfer from now.
You know, I want Inter to win the league and then go and sign Icardi for the banter. That'll be great.
Schalke Dortmund on Saturday. It's another good one.
Yeah. That finished 4-4 last time.
That's right.
Yep.
Dortmund was 4-0 up.
Oh, I remember that game again. Money lost.
Yeah.
Money lost. West Brom Villa tomorrow.
That's another derby.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. That's a fiery one. Yeah.
Boys, what do you make of Modric getting the Ballon d'Or?
I was fine with it.
Yeah?
Yeah. I just found it funny that Messi finished fifth. I was going to not go even.
That's right. I'm not even going to use the language. We've had enough expletives today, yeah? I'm not even going to say
it. It was a joke, man. It was a joke.
It was
a complete utter joke.
No, it is a joke. How can Lukaku not win it? I don't get it. It wasn't even nominated.
Jesus Christ. Do you know what surprised me the most? Actually, it didn't surprise me, but it angered me that the fact that Modric, you know, did so well last season, won the Ballon d'Or, breaks the monopoly of Ronaldo and Messi, and the biggest headline coming out of that was a DJ telling a footballer to twerk.
That was disgraceful.
That was a disgrace, man.
But the thing is, as far as I understand, he was actually asking other people to do a dance as well. Like, it wasn't just...
He tried to do like dances and stuff, but then he picked her out specifically when they finished and said, oh, can you twerk? He's like, wait, bro.
What are you doing? Like, not now. You don't do that. Come on. Like,
I think he was trying to be funny, but usually has the wrong context, I think.
Yeah.
Congratulations, you're the first World Player of the Year female, and yeah, do a twerk for us to celebrate. I mean, Andy Murray was so vocal about it on social media. He was so outraged. I couldn't believe it. You know, yeah, he came out with statistics and everything. Like, Jesus, like, Andy, calm down. Like, are you British? Are you Scottish? What are you, man? Like, worry about that first, you know? But I don't know. But hey, that's about it, gentlemen, because I can't think of anything else. They say a week is a long time in football. I mean, it's been a few days since we last did a show, and hardly anything much has happened apart from United and Arsenal defending like utter Muppets. But yeah. Anyway, well, look, thanks for your time, gentlemen. Before I let you guys go, let our listeners know where they can tune into your shows and whatnot. Come on, Connor, you start.
Playmakers FC, we're on iTunes. Taking a little break over Christmas. We'll be back in the new year. And you can find all that on my own Twitter account, because I can only be bothered to run one from now on, which is at Connor Dunford 1.
Kane's your Barry when you've got two accounts, isn't it, on Twitter? So.
It does, mate.
Are you having a week's break, Connor?
I'm having a mental breakdown, mate. I've got to chill out.
Okay, and that's Connor with one end. Yeah,
it is one end.
As per the WhatsApp discussion earlier. You haven't got a Wolf Zaha dartboard, have you?
Okay, I might get one. It's Christmas soon.
D.
Goodness me. Right, oh, goodness me. Yeah, my Twitter is at double D. That's DUBULDEE. And the show's Twitter is at DD40Factory_.
Okay. And you have an additional show as well, don't you now?
And we've got the podcast up, hashtag DD40Pod. But yeah, first one's up. Black Panthers, get involved. Going to be available on Pitch DMM when they sort out the technical shoes, and we are joining the FNX network. Yay!
Superb.
So so get involved. Big things coming in 2019.
Absolutely, Mr. Kojo, man, jack of all trades.
Yeah. So. Footy Says First on Twitter, 40_says, Footy Says also on YouTube and FNX Network and Pitch DMM. Mm. Gang. And Free Midfield. Our podcast, you can find us on Twitter, SoundCloud, iTunes. Oh, I keep doing this every week. I get tired of it.
100th episode just dropped
the 100th episode. That's on FNX as well. And Pitch DMM when they sort out the thing. And I think they inboxed us. And I haven't checked the message yet. So I'm doing a bad job at that. But yeah, follow us. Come on our show if you want to. Always feel free to come and banter us and tell us why Hazard is world class and why we know nothing.
Christ. Jan?
I just follow you, mate. Whenever you're on, I'm on.
I always wanted a twin.
Jan said he's not giving out his Twitter until Lukaku gets sold.
Oh, mate.
I know what I'm getting Jan for Christmas. I'm getting him a Lukaku blow up doll.
Oh, no.
I get Connor a Zaha one.
And on that note, we'll just wrap it up, shall we? We're on Twitter at Shoot the Fence. Please feel free to tweet us or mention us and all that kind of stuff. I know Touchline Fracar get a lot of people atting them, so you can do the same for us, because I need to rinse my battery, because I've got nothing else to do with my life. So yeah. we have a Facebook page, although it's not as good as Copper 90, but you know, we don't have Vujinic here with a stupid thumbs up. And we'll be back very soon. Adios.